Gang, I've been talking about True Hemp Science full spectrum CBD oils and how they've reduced my anxiety and helped me get better sleep for the last few months. I've also talked about the full spectrum CBD balms that relieved my hand pain and made playing guitar and piano much easier. Well, today, gang, I'm going to tell you about True Hemp Science organic gummies made with full spectrum hemp oil. These delicious organic vegan gummies contain 50 milligrams of CBD and 1.5 milligrams of THC per serving. I had the black cherry flavor and they are totally delicious. As I said, gang, I got great sleep. I felt totally relaxed. These things are absolutely fantastic. Get over to truehempscience.com and order yours today and start feeling more relaxed and sleeping better today. Now, gang, How Did I Get Here is partnered with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special gift. Use code HDIGH at checkout, and with your purchase of $65 or over, get 296 milligrams of the number 81 distillate oil, which is great for rest and relaxation and sleep. Well, I told you about this one from the very beginning. That's right, gang. Go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. Order some of these gummies. Get it going. Also, if you live in Austin, you can find them at their brick and mortar store in Austin at the corner of South First and Mary, right by the Soup Peddler. That's truehempscience.com. Get in there. Get more relaxed. Feel better. Get better sleep with True Hemp Science. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week so far. Hope you enjoyed your freedom this weekend. Your freedom on Monday. Oh, Jesus, there was another mass shooting. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's fucked up. It sucks. I don't know what to say. It sucks. We don't know what to say. There's nothing left to say about those things. You know, just leave it behind. What else is going on in my life? I'm starting to feel weird and old. You know, I told you guys for the last couple of months, I've been spending a lot of time at my grandma's with my 99-year-old grandmother and my 70-year-old aunt. You kind of get into this groove of like old people stuff. They got AARP magazines sitting around. I start looking at them. I start getting depressed because really, they sent me a bunch of stuff a few years ago and I just threw it all away because I was like, no, 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 no. But I am at my house right now. Madam Radar is coming over here to do a podcast. You'll hear that in a couple of weeks. I got a brand new album coming out pretty soon. It's a great album. Anyway, I'm anxiously awaiting two new pairs of readers that I ordered. So I'm very excited about it. I keep on checking my phone because I went to the USPS website, the Postal Service website, and signed up for an alert so they'll tell me when they get here so I don't miss a second of it so I can just run out and get them because I'm so excited to get readers. That's really sad, man. I'm very old now. I'm so old that I'm super excited. So far, the most exciting thing this week for me has been getting these readers in the mail. That and putting out three shows for you guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hey, listen, gang, I want to encourage you to go and at least follow us on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can follow us at How Did I Get Here. Go to our page, like it right now. Go there, like it. Go there if you're a Jake Lloyd fan who's my guest today. Great conversation. I'll talk about that in a minute. Go there and like that photo of me and Jake. Go there and look through. Check out all the different artists that have been on the show. Dude, we've had 1,181 episodes. Jesus, man, that's a lot, man. Get out there. Like these photos. Follow us. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. At Johnny Gowdy. JohnnyGoudie. Go do it right now. Go follow me right now. Stop what you're doing, except unless you're driving. If you're driving, do it later. Anyway, follow us, like our stuff. I need to get more engagement out there so that we can keep on attracting more great advertisers like the fine people at True Hemp Science CBD products. Been trying that CBD? Go there, truehempscience.com/HDIGH. You'll get a free gift a free gift with your purchase of $65 or more. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Jake Lloyd is my guest on the show. Jake Lloyd plays a style of music like he's a hip-hop artist, but he's also like, it's all like a fusion of soul, R&B, hip-hop, and alt-rock. That's what it is. That's what he grew up on. He's got a great new single out called Cold Summer, which I think is my summer jam. I think I'm going to go as far as to say this is my summer jam. I haven't paid that much attention to summer jams this year. I haven't been as involved with going outside and being involved in summer because it's been 195,000 degrees outside. Anyway, Jake Lloyd, great song, Cold Summer. Check it out. Go to jakelloydmusic.com for all of your Jake Lloyd needs. Gang, you can find Jake Lloyd playing on July 14th at the Long Center with Ghetto Gala. Great. We have a great conversation about his journey as a musician. Did I tell you guys he's the 2021 Black Fret winner? His single, My Polar, which he did with the Song Confessional, my friend Walker Lukens thing. I did a song with them as well. I can't remember what the song was called, and I can't even remember how it goes. But Jake's is fantastic. My Polar, great, great song. His collaborator is a guy named Danny Saldivar, also known as DS2. Fantastic, fantastic music they make, man. His single, The Ghetto Gala, that he did with DZ Brown and Ghetto Gala. Great, great, great music. Great record out there. Great records out there. He's got more music coming out, coming down the pike. Coming down the pike! His album, Moonlit Mornings, which came out in 2019. I'm a big fan of that. Great, great record. Has my friend Will Knack playing a guitar solo on it. It's really great. Go to Jake Lloyd Music for all your Jake Lloyd needs. And also, I'll be talking a lot more about Jake Lloyd as the months come along. And I'll tell you why, but I can't say it yet because there hasn't been an announcement. So I guess without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the immensely talented. What a great guy, too. Did I even mention that? I mean, he's such a cool fucking guy. We had a great conversation about his whole life and his journey as an artist, what he does as a musician. Great, great conversation. Fantastically talented artist, Jake Lloyd. Me and him chatting it up right now. Let's get down.
We rekindled a little, blended a little. Didn't break down, we just bend it a little. Didn't know how to act, I was ignorant a little. I would drop everything like the bounce on the dribble. To be right back in your arms, I will pull all the fire alarms. To be right back in your arms, I will eat all the charms out the Lucky. I will hit all the Dallas out the Dougie. I will eat all the turf out the rugby.
I will lie. I wanted to jump right into this and not have too much small talk because there's a lot of stuff I want to say.
For sure.
I'm sorry that I missed your show at the Quackenbushes down there.
Not a problem,
man. I was just coming back from Houston I came back from Houston the next day. But Anar said it was just incredible. Like, man, he called me afterwards and was just like, this dude and his fucking band and what. It's tough because your music does cross all genres. You sing, you do hip hop, but a lot of times when hip hop guys have a band, mm-hmm. they take away sort of the cool electronic element, yep. and it kind of genericizes their sound.
For sure.
Yeah. How do you keep it fresh? That's what Anar was saying, that you really had that fucking down.
It's funny, man, because so these guys, well, my drummer and my keyboardist, who is also my producer, Danny,
right.
are guys that I've played with since 2010, right?
Okay.
And we went through our, like, rap rock. We went through that whole phase, and you know what I mean, a rapper with the band. So I think we've played together long enough that we've been able to find the middle ground to where it's not taken away and backtracks. And man, it's just been, it's something we had to find. It wasn't immediate. Like I said, I had played with these guys back in 2010, and we did our thing as Kicks and Chords, which was what we were going by then. And then I left and went on in a different band, and it was totally different. It was kind of like blues, swamp rock sort of deal. And then me and the guys that I'm with now came back together, and it's just, I don't know, we just found it, man. I honestly don't know that we do anything to my knowledge, but I think it's just figuring out like what works and what doesn't work for this genres I'm trying to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's also hard to pull off electronics. The thing that I have this conversation with people, like there's people in pop mm-hmm. music and people in R&B music that feel like they're stuck in these bars.
For sure.
Right? And that music isn't meant for bars.
Absolutely. You know, it's not, man.
It's meant for a bigger sound system.
100%.
There's nuances that you're supposed to be able to hear.
Right.
And so it's almost like it's too expensive for the venue it's playing. You know what I mean? Like the style of music is a little too
I never thought about it like that, but that's a damn good take, you know?
Yeah. I was listening to all your stuff today again, and just your songwriting is phenomenal.
Thank you,
like,
man.
It just really is. You really understand songwriting.
That's really been something that I've really... I wasn't always like had my heart set on being the artist or being like a, but I always knew I could write songs, you know, and that was something that I knew I wasn't the best singer. Cause I mean, I grew up like real sing Marvin Gaye and like true singers, Usher. I'm not a true R&B, but you know, I feel like in Austin, sometimes you kind of get like, if you are of color and you sing,
I know exactly what
you're R&B, you know, yeah, what I mean, yeah, and like, yeah, don't, yeah, get me wrong, there are
I get it,
that's not wrong, no. But like, when I think of R&B, I think of music, Soul Child, these like real deal R&B, yeah. Boys to Men, real singers,
and
I sing, but I would never call myself an R&B singer, but a songwriter, that's something that I've always felt like I appreciate you saying I was very competent at, and telling stories, and just that was what I felt was my claim to fame for myself, was my ability to put words together, and maybe it might not be me singing the words, yeah, you know, yeah, but that's always something I love doing.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was a song on the Ghetto Gala that, mm-hmm, you did with DZ and that guy, Ghetto Gala. What's the Ghetto Gala? I know DZ. He went through our program and stuff.
Yeah.
But can I tell you this one thing? There's a song where, is it him saying, the South's got something to say?
That's me. Or that's on the, you? Hook, that's me singing,
okay,
that. Yeah.
Okay, that's you singing that.
Uh-huh.
Because he has a song where he says that too.
Yeah.
A song that we,
man,
did with him.
So it's funny.
I was like, that guy.
That might have been like a shout out to, who knows, man. DZ is he's a great songwriter too.
Great songwriter.
Man,
yeah.
Dude is a genius, and that's kind of why me and him came together and it just clicked, you know? And I know a lot of his song topics are like of Southern essence, yeah, and you know, we grew up listening to Ghetto Gala was a playoff of Ghetto Boys, so like the Ghetto Boys and all those Southern outcasts,
yeah, yeah,
stuff we grew up listening to, and he, you know, his music has a heavy Southern and screw and all that stuff,
yeah,
the Houston roots, so man, we just kind of wanted to go with that, and just Ghetto Gala is supposed to be like a contradiction. It's like it's ghetto, but it's also like a high class gala, you know, so it's the subtle contradictions, and
yeah,
that just make it work, and that's kind of what we wanted to play off, so
yeah, that record's great.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, yeah,
it was fun to make.
It sounds like it was.
It was fun to make. Yeah. It really was.
Yeah,
so.
The other thing is Cold Summer, man. Jesus Christ, what a smash.
Thank
that
you,
thing,
man.
Is fucking awesome, dude.
It's funny because, man, we recorded that song at the very top of 2020, actually, I want to say
all the optimism.
Man, it might even have been like the end of 2019, somewhere in that realm. But we were trying to figure out how we wanted to put the song out because we hadn't put anything out. Well, we had just put out the Ghetto Gala record, but we didn't have like any Jake Lloyd songs. And everybody in the band was like, "Don't get me wrong, the GG record is dope, but we kind of want to get people back on, you know, Jake Lloyd and remind people that there's a reason why this y'all even cared about Ghetto Gala was because it was two people that you already kind of knew. So we're trying to figure out what's going to be the next thing after that for Jake Lloyd, you know, solo. And we had the song and really liked it. And honestly, the next song that we're putting out was supposed to originally come out before Cold Summer. And we had the video, and just trying to put it out, man, was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough because we shot the video by ourselves. We didn't have management at the time. So just trying to build a buzz around something that, you know, you don't really know what it's going to do. You don't know how people are going to receive it. The gatekeepers are the people higher up that you need to get it to. So it was kind of nerve wracking, man. So to see it doing as well as it is,
yeah,
especially, you know, at this level, man, you're like, I don't really know. I don't know. You know, you don't really have expectations as much because.
No.
I don't know.
It's a really weird. I mean, I'm 53 and right. I've done this, like, you turn around there. That's me at 14, like playing my first band show, like with that guitar and shit.
So
my guitar, my amp on a fucking bucket and stuff.
That's dope.
But like the thing, like the dream has, like, it's just like the whole like 30,000 songs a day or a week going. I can't remember what the statistic is, but I hear it all the time and it keeps on getting bigger.
Right. And it's like, it started at 10,000 and then, it's gone to 30 and all kinds of stuff.
What? But Rosie. Down. Down. Sorry, man.
No, you're fine.
Right. Rosie, I'm going to spray this thing. Get down.
Come on.
Down,
Rosie.
Down.
Rosie's like, okay.
Good girl.
All right, dude.
I'm going to take a compilation of everybody telling her to get down and like it's like a greatest
That's
hits
awesome.
Episode. What were we just saying? Sorry. To Rosie. Hey.
I don't remember.
You can push her down if you want.
Come on, Rosie. I'll play with you.
Hey.
Give me a
you'll
second.
Play. You'll play.
We'll play.
Okay. Hey. Okay. All right. So did you grow up here?
I did.
Wow.
Was born in Austin, grew up in Round Rock. I went to high school in Round, suburbs. But I've been in Austin my whole life, man. I was born in Brackenridge. And
wow.
We lived off of Breaker for a while, and then we ended up moving north to Round Rock. My mom bought a house, and we've been there ever since. So,
what did your mom do?
State Farm.
She
worked at State Farm.
Okay.
Still there, man.
Yeah.
Shoot. She's been at State Farm literally my entire life. Jollyville location up north. So, man, we've been here rooted, me and my brother, and my dad lives in Pflugerville, so been here the whole time, man.
What how did you discover music? Like, when did you make the connection? Like, I can do this.
So it's a family thing, man.
Down, Rosie.
My grandmother played in the church.
Okay.
And my dad sang, and my grandfather sang. But I feel like when I really discovered I wanted to do music was just riding around with my dad. My dad's a big music buff. He would always put on the old Motown and, cause he grew up in that era. Temptations was the first band that I actually heard where I was like, wow, the harmonies, and he's ex-musician or wannabe musician too. So he's listening to stuff that the average, you just put on a record and it's just music, like everybody loves music, but not everybody loves music. And my dad was one of those people that kind of was my first introduction into like the nuance and the real love, man. Like, we would be riding and he would hear a part that he liked and he'd rewind it 100 times.
Yeah.
And me and my brother would be in the car like, Dad, okay, man, and now I do it to my kids.
Yeah.
Like, I'll hear something and I'm like, y'all hear that? And I'll rewind it. And it's just,
how
man.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two?
Two,
awesome.
A boy and a girl, man.
How old are they?
Prince just turned 6 and Lorelai just turned 8. So they're 2 years apart. And they are, if I'm not at work or doing music, it's, with
them. What do
you
do for work?
I work at Grav Labs. I work in a warehouse distribution, so.
Okay.
In a hot-ass warehouse, 5 days a week, but.
So, back to this. When you finally found your, thanks for coming.
Of course.
I know this is taking away
course,
from your family.
Man.
But, when you started, like, listening to your own music and had your own music outside, what was it that you were listening to?
Mainly, like, rap and R&B.
Okay.
So.
What years was it? Like, what era?
Oh, man. It was like the... Okay, so I got put on like the, of course, Snoop and Dre and all that stuff as a kid. Like, that was the rap that my parents would listen to. But when I started like finding my own, it was like the early 2000s. So,
okay,
like, Nelly had just come out.
Right,
Nelly
right.
was my favorite rapper. He was like the Saint Lunatics. I wanted to be like the 6th member of the Saint, and all those guys, and Ludacris, and that era,
that was kind of post Busta,
50 Cent,
Busta.
I mean, even Busta Rhymes too, that was still new enough to where that was the stuff I was listening to, man.
Dude, I forget about him, and then every once in a while I'll come across and I'll be like, God, I forgot like how just he was a monster. Crazy. Man.
The dude was a genius and still is, you know, but that time.
It's weird because when I think of that era of rap, I see it as a Hype Williams video that's overblown out with the super bright colors.
Hype Williams, man. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Well, it was like if you weren't in that zone, I don't know what you were doing.
Right. Yeah. Hype Williams was the guy if you wanted a video.
To me, all those videos, I mean, he had a thing.
For sure.
But it was very defined. So that era of hip hop and rap just totally
you knew
looks
you were
like
watching a Hype Williams video.
Yeah.
For sure. But that was my when I was like first getting in, and then the Cash Money, of course, being from the South, you know, Master P and all those guys, because they were like the first kind of independent, but like global independent label. And man, when Lil Wayne came out and, you know, like the original first Hot Boys when he was like 16 and that sort of stuff, man. So I really clinged to that. And that kind of molded my taste. And then I got to college and it was just completely shifted, man. I met a guy and he was a musician and he was a black guy. And it was crazy because he was putting me on music that I had not necessarily never heard. I think the senior year in high school is when I kind of started listening to like pop punk. And, you know, I liked Fall Out Boy because they were kind of getting like, you know, Maroon 5, that sort of stuff. Stuff I heard on the like pop radio.
Fall Out Boy did like a lot of collaborations with hip hop people.
A lot, man. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I kind of started listening to them. But then I got to college and it was like Paramore and
all right.
I was really just on the Fueled by Ramen, that pop punk. And then they had the Punk Goes Crunk albums where they would take like rap songs and like punk bands would cover the songs. So there was a CD. Man, there's a CD where like Devil Wears Prada is covering like a Big Timer song. And then you have like the main singing Rihanna and you have All American, you know, just covering other songs. And that was really something where I was like, I had never heard anything like that. This is like 07, you know what I mean? And I'm a freshman in college, and this dude puts on this record, and I'm like, I kind of liked it. You know, like, I don't know, man. It really just broadened I feel like that was my first step into this genre of fluidity, Jake, and just kind of meshing everything, because that guy listened to everything, and he knew just as much about rap as he did about, I mean, he could tell you everything about Guar, like literally everything, and then also tell you everything about Lloyd Banks and 50 Cent. And it was just those two worlds coming together like that. Man, it stuck with me and it's been with me ever since. And I try to pride myself on being able to talk a little bit about everything. I might not know, you know, but I can, whatever you listen to, I guarantee you I listen to something in that realm.
Yeah.
You know?
That's one of those things that I learned. Did you ever see that Dr. Dre and what's his name? Jimmy Iovine documentary on HBO?
I didn't. That was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. There was one part where Dr. Dre like kind of went through all of this stuff that he was listening to and like when he was like was it bin digging?
Okay, him, yeah, like, crate digging.
Crate digging, and I just felt so old and white when I said that.
I knew what you meant.
Crate digging. He got into bands like Kraftwerk and like all these kind of like...
You can hear it in his samples.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you ever see Guar?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't, but man,
I saw them in the late 80s. There was really like, it was so weird.
Even for that time, right?
It was just weird to see these guys like have a giant sword
dressed
fight
up,
on stage and stuff.
Yeah,
it was just odd. Like,
the music is really good, man. It's crazy. And I use them as an example because I was listening to them at work. They just put out a new record and it still sounds pretty damn good, you know? But that's really something I take very seriously, man. Just music in general. And I get you have to be in a genre, but man, I love everything and I get inspired by everything. So,
but to me, it seems like your sound is almost defining its own genre, you know, like when you take all of those influences and you put it through the filter of you and then it comes out like, you know, like sausage or something, you know, like
absolutely. That's beautiful, man. And that's a huge compliment for me because I don't think, you know, it hasn't always been received that way. I've had people, you know, years back tell me, like, maybe you should hone in on one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get where they were coming from, but, like, I don't know if I know how to do that. You know what I mean?
Right,
and I don't even know if I even really want to do that. So,
right.
But so to hear you say that.
Well, it's funny because there's that music industry thing. And, well, maybe you weren't being that clear.
Right.
Maybe when you were.
That's very true,
it,
too.
It wasn't.
Absolutely.
As, you didn't have. You weren't. Jake Lloyd wasn't as defined.
100%.
Then, right.
That is very good. A very good possibility.
But that's always like a music business thing where they're like, we love what you do, but we want to change it.
Right. And it's like, well, do you. Well, if you want to change it, then you don't love, but...
That was always the problem that I had, and I did a real bad job of playing ball.
I'm the same way, man.
I just did. I just kind of felt like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it my way, right?
If it's going to take up my whole life, all of my money, if I'm going to put everything I have into this, why not be able to sleep with it and live with it at night? You know what I mean?
But it's fucked up, though, because it's so... It's such a fine line because you remember watching like American Idol, like they used to make such a big deal about the people that would come in and do the blind auditions or whatever that thing is called. And they'd come in and do their thing and they were fucking terrible.
Yep.
And they'd be like, dude, you're terrible. And they'd be like, well, you don't know because I'm the best thing you ever seen. Because you don't know if you're being that guy or not either at the same time.
For
you got to really have some kind of faith in yourself.
100%, man. Because that's definitely in the back of your mind. You're like, damn. And, you know, and like, obviously, I'm not the guy that can't be told anything. You know, I know I don't know everything.
Right.
I know I can always get better. So it wasn't coming from that place. You know, I'm not Prince. You know, I'm not a savant, not to myself, but like you got to have a little bit of gumption, you know, or I don't know, man.
Well, there's
like you
that
said.
Thing where you don't know if you're like a homeless guy talking, you know, talking to himself or like, you know, imagine Jesus.
For sure.
You know, like here was this guy walking around like, hey, I'm the son of God. Just, we're going to do all this. Like, hey, you are nuts, dude.
The
but really, he had something going on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever used Jesus as a reference.
Man,
like that.
That was, I'm glad to be the first.
Did you grow up like religious and churching?
Extremely religious.
Yeah.
Like I said, both of my grandmother played in the church my entire life.
Right.
Wanted to teach me piano. That was when I was growing up, and all I cared about was really sports, and I wanted to play football. I thought I was going to be the next Deion Sanders type deal. And so, I mean, I went to Bible school every summer until I was like 15.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I started like running summer track and doing other things, but definitely grew up very religious and my parents are still extremely religious. I mean, I don't
How do you handle that as a father? Like how do you
what It's
do you,
weird, man, because like for instance, saying grace before meals, it was something growing up it was so put into my head if I never forgot to do it. Now I find myself and I don't do it until I get around my mom or we all go out to eat and my mom does and I'm like, oh shit. And I hear the kids be like, and they'll say theirs. And it's weird because I'm not religious. I believe there's a higher power and all that stuff. I can't tell you last time I've been to church.
Right.
But I definitely have that, you know, I know how I was raised. And then, like I said, when I'm put in the middle of both generations and I'm like, shit, I should be doing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, man.
I don't have kids. I don't necessarily believe in the religions or even like all this stuff. But I do. I'm like, oh well, you know, this stuff is kind of imposed on you as a kid to
for
give
sure.
you some sort of moral compass. Where to stop?
For sure. Know? And I'm all about that, man. I'm about the. And that's why I think people say spiritual more than religious because everybody can find some, you know, something to take from the religion, but it's more spiritual. Like you said, the moral compass and just being a decent person. That is what religion should be about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a lot of shit that turns people off about that shit. Yeah. So people are like,
well, just it's like some of the meanest, most heartless
facts,
self-involved into a power and money people are Christians, and that is
that's
meek shall inherit the earth.
Right.
You know, like not to be political, but there's this thing where like you see these people saying like these crazy people saying that like Donald Trump was the president that brought God into the White House, and you're like, Dude, that guy is the least Christian. Like, I mean, look, just on, like, I'm not saying anything good or bad, but there's nothing Christian about being that boastful about your billions or millions or, I have a gold toilet. Like, Jesus wouldn't have been your friend.
I was going to say, you might want to skim through that Bible, refresh. But, yeah, dude, I've been seeing that line about Donald Trump bringing into the White House a lot for the last couple weeks. And I'm like, I'm not a super political guy. I'm not one of those guys that's like, I shut everything off. Because, I mean, I'm not ignorant to this stuff. But
it's tough to sort of like, man, you know what I mean? And keep up and be in the...
And not be disheartened and like not want to just curl into a ball and just we're all...
And I don't feel great getting behind anybody really wholeheartedly because, I mean...
It's all, they're all from pumping into the same, you know?
Yeah. And really machine. Sort of the only guy that has kind of proven himself to not be just a scumbag.
Yeah.
On some level was Obama. Like that's the only guy that wasn't like a total...
Man, and people still were pissed off about it because the whole Hawaii or, you know, the Africa thing. And it's just like,
well, that was Donald Trump too. He was the guy that started that birther movement.
The smear campaign. Come on, man. Like, and I'm not saying that, I mean, he's still a politician. So I get that.
Sure.
Like, there are still things that, but like you said, on a personal level, man, he just seemed like the most guy, like not even the black thing, just the most guy like me.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, like, the most human of all of them.
Just the most human guy, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, where did you go to college?
Corpus Christi A&M.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man. Both of my mom and dad are from Corpus, and 95% of my family still lives there, so I figured, why not, you know? Be home away from home, basically. Like I said, I've been... Going to Corpus, that's where Bible school and all that was. Both sides of my grandparents lived there. So I was like, I'm going to go to college, but I'm really going to be, you know, basically still at home.
Yeah.
Meals and aunts and uncles and all kinds of stuff. So
were you doing music at that point?
Man. So this is 2007. I graduated high school, Stony Point High School. And I had been doing like kind of like mixtape. I didn't have a name on the scene, but... I mean, there really wasn't even, there was a scene, but like.
Were you mixtape, you were rapping over stuff that you were just doing on your own?
Just rapping, you know what I mean? Still recording at home. Yeah. Over original tracks, but, you know, I had never done a show. I had never performed live, anything like, not even close. But like at school, people knew, oh, Jake makes music. Like that was starting to be the time where like Facebook was coming out. If you wanted to be. Call yourself a musician.
Anybody
could call themselves a musician at that time. Yeah. But people knew Jake was like, you know, there was a couple other people, included with myself, that was like, okay, these guys are doing it for real. They're not just at home, you know, rapping in the closet, which I was absolutely doing. But I guess.
But you're trying to get somewhere.
Trying to get somewhere. And then I go to college, and honestly, man, I kind of just went cold. I wasn't really focused on music at all.
What'd you go to school for?
So originally I went for communications and then,
what the hell is communications? Is that like a PR or media or what is it?
I don't even know. I didn't do any classes for that major. So I was there for a year and I was just getting like basics in. Right. And then, I think they made me choose something. And so I was like communications. Cause I don't know. I want to be a musician. I knew that music was still something I wanted to do, but I didn't know what to take classes in. So I spent a year in as a communications major, and then the next year I'm like, bro, I don't know what that is. If I'm gonna be here, I don't want to waste no time. So I changed it, and I was gonna have music be my major, right? Because why not? So they put me in like music theory, right? And I'm like, okay, this is dope. This is what my grandmother's was trying to get me to do all those years. I'm just finally do it. Man, I get in there and I am blown away at how hard music theory is.
Yeah, it's like fucking complicated math.
Dude, it's just, so they put me in these like, I had to take a choir course and just like none of the type of music that in my brain, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a music major.
Right.
So I'm singing and it's not even that there's any, I love classical music, but. when I go in, I guess I don't assume that I'm going to be doing any of that stuff. So they have me in that and in music theory, and I'm just, I guess, shell shocked, man. And it was too hard. I only did 2 years in college, didn't graduate, but I was blown away at the music majors and music theory. And I guess technically the first show I did was in college. I had to do, we did, I guess, what is that, a recital where it was me and the rest of the choir.
Yeah.
Dude, that's probably the most nervous I've ever been. And I do shows now in front of more people, and it was just being in that get up.
Yeah.
Did you
have to wear like a gown?
We were in like a gown, like the. I mean, it wasn't anything embarrassing, but it was just like the lights and I'm giving a fucking performance, like theater. Yeah, yeah. If I had to do a play right now, I'd probably be more nervous than put me on Blues on the Green, hundreds, thousands of, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't know. Like, that's, I'm comfortable with my abilities.
Yeah.
I know what I can do here. I don't know. I don't know anything about this world, you know? So.
Did you do one of those, the Blues on the Green that was filmed last year?
No. I've never done Blues on the Green. I think
Sam Houston,
Jackie.
It was Jackie's show.
It was it was Jackie's show, and then she had Sam Houston and another act I can't remember.
In the summer of 2020, do you know James Robinson, the singer?
I sure do.
James and I are really, we're real close friends.
That's dope. He's dope.
He is.
Super good. I got to meet him with Black Fret.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can say those names.
Oh, yeah.
But that's how I met James, and dude, just blown away by how dope the guy is.
Colin and why am I drawing a blank on his name? From Black Fret. Colin and,
Matt.
Matt.
Yeah.
They've been on the show.
Okay.
Lots of times.
I just didn't.
I have their, like, whenever they have events and stuff, I'll have an artist that's doing it to promote the event or whatever. And congratulations, you got a Black Fret last year.
I did, man. And it was crazy. And it was, you know, I know they say don't seek validation, but when you feel like.
But it's good to get it.
It's good to get it, man. Yeah. It was awesome and something I'd wanted for a while. So it was really cool. So thank you. AMF. As well.
There's no way what we do that we're not seeking validation. I know it's wrong too.
Right.
And some people overseek it.
For sure.
But there's no way that's not what we're doing.
We're musicians and we're sensitive about our shit and we want it to be accepted, or why would we be doing it?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So in the summer of 2020, like about a week after the George Floyd murder, James called me and he was like, hey, you know, this would be a really good time for you to learn about like what's really difficult in the Austin music industry,
man.
Like using it as a microcosm for what was going on in the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
Right. And so he basically booked my show for a couple of months and like reached out to like lobbyists and like actors and just everybody in the African-American community that he could to sort of bring on the show and have like these pretty heavy. Because that was, I mean,
yeah,
I was just talking about it with someone else today. Like, that summer was fucking intense,
I feel like it,
dude. Jesus Christ.
So much. Like, I heard somebody say in an interview, they were like, after George Floyd died, it wasn't like these were new topics.
Not at all.
But it was something about that particular.
Everyone was home.
It was.
And
like,
able to really, like, do something. Like, you know, I mean, I spent a couple of months reading books and watching documentaries, and you know what I mean?
Man, I had never, not in my lifetime, had I seen like the whole world. It felt like, you know, just be like, oh shit. Maybe what they, you know, or I don't know, but it felt like an aha kind of a moment.
Yeah. His death was tragic and senseless and awful, but it was a heroic.
Man,
what came in the wake of that were conversations that we were never able to have. So what I was going to ask is, everybody, you know, Jackie was a very heavy conversation at that. She was so outspoken,
man.
And like she stood up and basically told the Austin music industry that can blacklist you if they want to, just be like, hey, get your shit together and do it now,
right?
And I'm not going to play your shit unless you do. And that was just like, wow. I mean, it's giving me goosebumps now.
It shows
what a powerful artist.
It shows her stature in Austin, and not even just Austin, dude. If you got to have a little bit of a reach beyond Austin to talk to people in Austin like that, you know?
Yeah, the thing that I had with her, and this is a gross analogy, but I know that she enjoyed it when I told her, is that like when she showed how big her dick was to those people, like everyone was like, whoa, sorry, man.
Whoa, excuse me. You know what, Jackie? You are right.
Yeah.
But no, man, that was big dick energy for sure. And from a black woman, you know, a woman of color, and she's dope. That's dope for her. Fuck how good she is as a musician, which is, she's great.
Yeah.
But like to take a stand like that, especially, you know,
and so confidently, I know that wasn't easy to do.
No, because absolutely
there were,
not.
I know there were a couple of days where she was like, oh shit,
I'd be glued to my phone, like waiting for the reaction. So
yeah,
I would be just thinking about posting something like that, or, you know, it takes a lot of fucking balls, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
No question. So,
what I was going to ask you is, you've been in this scene for quite a few years, and now, do you feel like it moved the needle in the music, like the community that we deal with?
Yeah. What, since 2020 or just?
Yeah, since summer of 2020. Do you see more diversity in show lineups at places and like?
I do.
Yeah,
I do, man. 2020 was a pivotal year for everyone, obviously, but for me personally as well. And on my musical journey too. I feel like 2020 was the year, when I kind of became more of a household name in Austin.
It was.
And I had just gotten out of a management situation, and I was kind of doing things on my own, because I'm the type of person, if something's going to go wrong, I want it to be because of me. And if nobody can do more for me than me, that's right. Kind of like shit. I live by those words. Nobody is going to do more for you than you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to blame nothing on nobody. You know, I'm not saying that, I didn't want manage, but I just knew it wasn't the right fit. It wasn't right. So I was going to coast on my own for a little bit. And man, we had put out a record, the Lloyd Pack and Crossroading, and which was the first song I'd ever gotten on the regular rotation on KETX. And that was something that I was a check, you know, a list for me, because I didn't want to just be on the breaks, which I love. Confucius and Fresh, those guys are people that have added. The whole reason I'm even known by those people up there is because of these guys.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be put in that R&B rap box. Yeah. I wanted something on the regular shit. And now, man, I hear people and I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers is on the, happy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Man, I reached out. I remember reaching out to Lori Gallardo on Instagram and just shitting bricks. Like, oh, she's going to fucking read this and be like, dude, get a life, you know what I mean? Or just, I got songs coming out, and I just
wait. You DM'd her on that?
I DM'd her.
Do you,
I mean, we were following each other already,
I had her on the show a few years ago, and she said her biggest pet peeve is people reaching out to her on social media.
That's what I'm saying. That's
but probably, luckily, she was good enough. Man, got through.
Dude, I was so, and I know that wasn't, I know that's not the way to go about it, you know, but I think I said something like, hey, I would love to get your, you know, one thing about me, I know how to work. If I'm a DM you, I'm not going to have the song for you to listen to in the DM. But I said something professional-ish like, hey, I would love to get your email. I got, you know, I would love to show you and give you an early listen and whatever. And man, she responded, email, I love your music. And I didn't even think she really knew who I was. I mean, that's Lori G. You turn on KETX, like, oh, she is the voice what I'm saying? Yeah, so, and the rest is kind of history, man. And and now, you know, I don't feel anything reaching out to people now. You know, obviously it's not in the DMs, it's via email, but just that, and she, I've told her since, but I said, you gave me the confidence to reach out to other people and believe in myself. And man, when I heard her and Deidre and all those people up there at KETX, they've shown me nothing but love, man. And it's a beautiful thing. It makes me feel like what I'm doing is right.
She's, Lori is a real, she's, like, treasure. She, yeah.
a genius.
So is Deirdre. She's awesome.
They're all great. Yeah. And they have, man, they treat me like the second coming, you know, and just love my music and
well, it's because you're great too. I mean that's what really is the thing that
it's beautiful, man.
You know, you can have as many followers or as many likes or whatever, as many, but if your shit's not worth listening to, then, you know, and usually when your stuff is, hey, cool out.
Come on, Rosie.
We're gonna she wants to go for a W A L K.
I don't blame her.
You have about 10 minutes. Okay.
She's looking like you. I'm you on the clock.
Yeah. Lay down, girl. So you do think the needle has moved then?
I do, man.
And there's been progress has been made. Because that was the part that was worrying. I was worried about was I started feeling like, look at me, I'm getting all caught up in this. But in a few months, I can't spend this much time on racism because it doesn't, I need to work on other stuff too.
Right.
And I feel like I get it. Like I didn't understand. There's that thing that happens. I mean, I'm Cuban. I'm Hispanic. Both of my parents were born in Cuba, but you can't tell when you look at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I speak Spanish and all that stuff. So my relationship with racism is super different than most of my people. I was born in the States. I look like this. I play music that sounds like white dudes. And, you know, I've never, but I'm not racist. And that was kind of my stance always before 2020 was
for
like,
sure.
Well, I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm not the guy stopping anything from, you know,
I'm with you guys.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But there wasn't the whole under, I didn't understand. Like I had a very, I was very ignorant to systemic racism, even though I knew it existed.
Right.
I was like, well, what can I do about it? Right. But the thing is like, you have this, like, that's what James was saying. You have this platform and people, you know,
people
listen to you.
You've
been doing this show for, you know, almost 10 years at that point. Yep. I was like, you can put some depth in your show, you know?
It's crazy, man, because I, you know, obviously am African American and there's things that I'm still ignorant about. There's things I'm still learning and man, it's not one. There's not one story that can catch everybody up, you know? Like you know, it takes different things for it to sink in or for it, not necessarily even to sink in, for it to even be brought up. So, man, we're all learning together and just knowing that, like you said, it exists and being mindful of it is a huge step.
Yeah.
I try, you know, it's a tough topic, man. And James is one of those guys where, you know, I haven't known him for very long, but since I have, he's definitely locked in and dialed in with the struggle, winning the fight. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, you know, because, you know, I haven't made a stand like Jackie, or I haven't posted this like, Shaka and Riders Against the Storm and Mobley, who's, man, I see these guys' tweets and these guys are way more politically fluent, political, you know, than I am.
Yeah.
I don't know as much, you know, so
I don't think everybody has to be.
Right.
I think if, like, it's not my main thing either.
Yeah.
It's not, it's just not. And I feel disingenuous when I'm,
for sure, when I try to act or speak like it is my thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, man. And I'm kind of learning that I don't have to know every single thing like some of these other guys do. And I can still make a change or be informative or do something, you know. And that's why when you said you just figured out like, hey, you have this platform and you can be doing, you don't have to be marching or rallying every week to still be in the fight and doing, just being knowledgeable, man. And you know, all you can, like you said, you got to start with yourself before you can try to inform or do shit for anybody else. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Crazy times, man. Where are you? You are with Descent Records?
Yes.
Yes.
I've been working with Descent and Jeff since about November of last year. So going on about a year.
What, do you have a record that, I can't remember when we talked before. Do you have a record that you're working on or that's coming out or like?
We're working on a single release that should be this summer. So in like the next month or two, and then me and DZ are working on the follow-up to the Ghetto Gala record, and I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
As far as a record for Jake Lloyd, man, we have songs, and I'm just trying to figure out now the best way. I don't know if I want to do an LP, EP, all that sort of figuring out. Rosie's like, you're on. I said it. And I don't know, man. That's one of the things about the record with me and DZ. It's been fun to just kind of step out of Jake Lloyd's head and like what the hell I'm going to be doing for Jake Lloyd. And it still kind of keeps me relevant and working, and it still be fun.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when I work on my own shit, man, I'm like, dude, dates and promo and all that shit. So
do you have any shows coming up? This is going to come out in the next couple weeks.
Yes. We actually have a show. I don't know if it's supposed to be. We have a show coming up in July at the Long Center.
Oh, wow.
Ghetto Gala is headlining one of the drop-in, their drop-in series.
Fantastic. Do you know the date of that?
Yes, but I'm not supposed to say it.
That's
I'll
right.
tell you.
But you'll let me know.
I will let you know.
That's just down the street.
Man.
Down there check it out.
Dude, I don't know if I'm not. I'm going to just say it. It's the 14th of July. I don't. Hey, guys, y'all are supposed to be announcing it soon anyway. But we'd love to see you, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see you. I'm looking forward to hanging with you a lot and seeing how you work, because I really, this that cold summer, it's got a lot of plays and it's gotten a lot of action, but I don't know why it doesn't see more. Like, it's
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Probably because maybe I need to be doing more, man. I always start with me. I'm a me starter.
That's a really good thing.
I'm always
I would have, but those guys were, you know.
What did I not do? And it also can be, you know, I can really get down. It's like, I didn't do enough, you know? It's a double-edged sword for me, but I'm never like, oh, well, if you motherfuckers had it done, that's not my first go-to.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I didn't do enough, so.
Yeah.
But thank you, man. It's the best song. It's doing better than anything we've ever done, so.
So you know you're on the right track. You know,
that's
stuff's
where I'm
getting
at.
Better and better.
For sure.
And, yeah.
Stuff comes to me when it's supposed to. And that's another thing that I really believe in. There's no accidents. Everything is everything is on purpose, man. Like, me and you are sitting here for a reason. Like, it was supposed to happen. So I'm good. I'm in a good place.
Good, man.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to working with you and hanging out with you.
Shit,
this has been great.
Already. I feel like we have so same, man.
Yeah, well, I'll try and be at that. Is that like a Thursday or something, that Long Center? Or Wednesday or something?
I want to say it's a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Say it's a Wednesday.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, if I'm in town, I'll definitely be there.
Shit, yeah, man.
All right, dude.
Glad to hear it.
People can find you at jakelloydmusic.com. Get out there and check out his music on Spotify or wherever it is you stream. Oh, My Polar.
Oh, yeah.
I did one of those song confessional things.
Did you?
Yeah. That's fucking, what a great song you did.
Thank you, man. I had never done anything like that.
No, it's fun, isn't it?
It was crazy. Really kind of like puts you in a different spot and flexes your song. And I'm all about, like I said, songwriting.
Yeah.
That's what I love to do. So, yeah, man, Walker was dope.
Walker Lucan's such a great guy, man.
Super cool,
so
dude.
So talented,
man. Love
too,
Walker.
Man.
Yeah, it's my guy.
To me, he's like the white Mobley.
That's actually pretty fucking spot on. Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. I never thought, but he's dope, man. And that's another thing that I think kind of just made my confidence go up, is getting like co-signed and, you know, by all these people I used to look up to, or still look up to, but like, man, I wish I could have the nerve to reach out to him. Now Mobley, like, you know, I feel comfortable in the scene
that's
with
a good
everybody,
feeling, isn't it?
Man.
Yeah,
it's it's a great feeling.
Another family too,
right.
Is what it is.
Absolutely,
you know?
Man. Yeah. And you know, I know we're cutting into Rosie's time, but I'll end this thought here. I remember doing I did the Dolly Parton tribute show for 2 years ago it was Front Steps, and Deidre put it on from KETX.
Yeah.
And I remember Sabrina from A Giant Dog and I'm telling the band, I'm like, dude, Sabrina, you know, just all these other heavy hitters in Austin that are going to be there. And I get home after the show and she's taking a video of me singing my song and like tagged me in it, found me. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay. That's when I feel it kind of started, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And got the KTX Artist of the Month and that stuff. So it just felt like the people that I admire are starting to know who I am and just being in those same circles with, you know, Jackie and Sam and all these guys, man. It just made me feel.
You're one of the guys now.
It's proud,
that's
man.
Awesome feeling, isn't it?
It's a beautiful feeling. It's a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, that's all I ever wanted. Like that guy in the band over there.
That's all
the
you wanted,
guy,
right?
That's all I wanted. I just wanted to be one of the guys that, like, hey, Johnny, how was your gig last night?
Right.
I saw one of the guys that, are you friends with Will Nack? Good friends with him?
Yeah.
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 We all played this thing last night at Antone's. And he played. I missed what he did.
Dude, Blue October. Will Nack has played on one of my songs.
Yeah, that Strikes. That
yes. Strikes. Dude, man, Will Nack is he's a boss, man.
Yeah. I was like, where is he? Like all through the song. And then finally, man, when he comes in, I was like, oh, yeah, dude. That guy is fucking.
Oh, he's.
That guy,
sick.
That guy gets it.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Will Nack and, you know, Matt.
Noveski. Yeah, I was with him last night.
Just cool dudes, man. When I remember when Matt first reached out and I was like, oh, shit. Matt from Blue October?
Yeah.
You know, and just first time I went to Orb, I was just like, damn.
Yeah, dude, that place is pretty impressive.
We're doing it. You know, Orb is crazy. Orb is crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you guys reaching out to me. And
of course, dude.
Can't wait for AMF and looking forward to it.
We're going to have fun, man.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm already having a good time. Shit.
All right, get out there and check out JakeLloydMusic.com. Long Center, July 14th, Long Center with Ghetto Gala. Check out Cold Summer. Check out all of his music everywhere. Is Danny Saldivar, his moniker is DS2?
DS2, okay. Yes. Pronounced DS2, obviously. With he's the second. He's the second child, so.
All right. Great having you on, man.
Thank you, man.
Looking forward to hanging more.
Yes, sir. All the Dallas out the Dougie. I will eat all the turf out the rugby.
I will lie all the brewery at the study and try to figure out how to make you. Gang, that's the great Jake Lloyd. His song Cold Summer out now. Go to JakeLloydMusic.com for all of your Jake Lloyd needs. You can see him July 14th at the Long Center here in Austin. Go out there and check out his Spotify, man. There's a lot of great music going on up there. Also, he's got a Bandcamp. So go to his Bandcamp. Go to JakeLloydMusic.com. Find out where he's going. Find out what he's doing. Stalk him. Stalk him. And gang, as I said before, don't forget to get involved with this podcast. If you are on Facebook, which I know some of you are not, but those of you that are, you can follow us at How Did I Get Here. If you're not on Facebook, if you're on Twitter and Instagram, you can follow me at Johnny Gowdy. Okay? You get updates all the time, photos, you know, whatever. You'll get updates all the time. Whatever social media shit, you'll get to do it. You'll get to see pictures of Rosie, all that kind of stuff. And hey, gang, don't forget when you're checking out JakeLloydMusic.com and all of his fantastic songs like Cold Summer and The Ghetto Gala, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. Follow us, subscribe. New shows all the time, usually Tuesdays and Fridays. But this week, three shows, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right? Here's the rest of Cold Summer by Jake Lloyd. JakeLloydMusic.com. Go out there and get involved. All right, you'll hear my conversation with The Fragile tomorrow on Friday. Have a great week. Let's get down.